The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Goody at the Movies, Bill Goody Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett, also media correspondent, AZ Central, on the Super Bowl. He's going to be writing on the Super Bowl, and I want to get into the broadcast crew. Does he like Jim Nantz? Does he like Tony Romo, Jay Feely, Tracy Wolfson, all of them? What does he look for around the Super Bowl? I think it's time for us to move ahead now. We're this close to the end of the week. So have some fun with Goody, and then Jimmy Vaccaro will join us from Vegas at the South Point. Chief odds maker there at the South Point. Jimmy's been at the business 40 years. I want him to walk us through the coin flip. Like, how much money are you going to put on the coin flip? I think I'm going to put $50 on tails. I do. And so we'll talk with Jimmy right there in Vegas. Are people going to go to Vegas? I think you are. I think people are just like, let's get out of here and let's go see Super Bowl. We had Jimmy on last week where they're going to have different breakout rooms for fans to watch the game and all that stuff. So Goody and Jimmy, a fun show today. Not heavy lifting. We like those shows occasionally. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. They are awesome and amazing. We appreciate their partnership and support. I watched the Suns game last night here in my office. Actually, I have my setup over here to the side out of the shot here. And I'm sitting there last night, I'm just watching like, wow, they're really not good. And it looked like a team that, okay, you've been on the road for a few days, been hanging around Dallas, and then you get to New Orleans, and there was nobody to contend with Zion Williamson last night. Nobody. And DeAndre Ayton looks, I'm not sure what the right description, he just looked awkward at times last night. And I was watching the ESPN broadcast with Dave Pasch and Mark Jackson. They did a great job. And I'm seeing, you know, Ayton with double-double. And it's, yeah, but inside, he's not changing many shots. There were a few, but not many. Meantime, Devin Booker had a rough night shooting. Chris Paul was pretty darn good, but it was one of those nights where the Suns shot 23% from three-point country. And it was one of those die-by-the-three nights that we talk about. You live by the three, when you hit it, die by the three. And so it was disappointing to see them play so, I thought, poorly. In the end of the third quarter, they trailed by 14. And then the fourth quarter, New Orleans just ran away and hit, and Zion had his way, Brandon Ingram had his way, and Lonzo Ball had his way. So the Suns come home. They're off today. They play Detroit tomorrow. That's what I caught up on last night. Today, usually, we're at the Waste Management Open. This year, the Waste Management Open has said, please don't come out here. We just don't want that much media out here. And I'm respectful of that. I would love to be out of the golf course today bringing you that, but I'm respecting their wishes. Some of my brethren are out there doing their thing, which is fine, but I'm in a space where I would just assume watch Rory struggle on Golf Channel this weekend. That's the way it's going to go. There's some things with Arizona State that are interesting in the news cycle and some that are not in the news cycle. Arizona State is going to make an announcement. I don't know when exactly it's going to be, but they're going to hire someone, and I'm not going to say who it is yet because I've not talked with this person other than via text. But it's someone that is known in the community and someone that Arizona State Athletics is going to hire and put in a position of the front office of the athletic department, and I think it's a really, really, really good hire. And it's going to be a blow to the people that are going to lose this person. I'll just leave it at that. It was reported yesterday that Ray Anderson, I think it was Sun Devil Source, I think it was Chris Cartman that had it, that Ray Anderson is going to get a five-year extension. I've made no bones about it. I am an enormous fan of Ray's. There will always be people that are not of any athletic director, just anybody in general. There's always going to be someone out there who's like, oh, I'm just not big on this guy. Ray Anderson staying for 5 years and turning down the Pac-12 conference job is a blow to the Pac-12 conference. It's great for Arizona State to have consistency and continuity. I believe that the underbelly of any great athletic department has got to be just as strong as the top. And I believe that back on this hire that Arizona State's going to announce, I think that this strengthens Arizona State. I really do. You're always going to have those people that believe there's too much emphasis on football. they have everything about football and some of the other sports. And I would say, no, I don't believe that Ray is that. He understands that football is the revenue driver. If you don't like football, get over it. Because without football, your athletic department's just not going to thrive at a national level. If you want to make another sport, take the GCU model, which is soccer and basketball are going to be our revenue drivers, that's fine. But they're in a different space. They're not this ginormous campus and online presence. GCU has a very good online presence, but they don't have to have football. Arizona State has to have football. So most resources do need to go into the football department first and foremost. It's interesting because Ray saying no to the conference, yet I thought he was the voice of reason during everything last August when it was being debated back and forth about whether football should be played or not. And fortunately, Larry Scott has been shown the door, and fortunately, he'll be on the outside. I think for Ray, it's okay. He's going to be here for 5 years. He's got some people in space that could be his successor, in 5 years. I always look at that. Just because somebody signs a five-year deal doesn't mean they walk in one day and say, no, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, there's many of you that believe Antonio Pierce will be the successor to Herm Edwards, and I am not sure that that is the right person. That's just my own opinion. That's me looking at the big picture all the way top to bottom. I am not sure on that. I would like to see this football program actually have a big winning season. I actually would. And not be 17 and 13. So I'm not one that's going to sit there and say, well, man, they've cleaned up on all these recruits and all that stuff. Recruits want to, it's why the transfer portal is so popular. You can go get all the five-star, four-star, who cares how many star guys you want, and try to get the base all excited. But until you go actually get a W and an L, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. And so I'm not sure if football is in the right space top to bottom. I believe Herm has been terrific, obviously, in getting the national attention and being part of campus, not just being some dude that's over here on the far side. Like Nick Saban gets on the plane at Alabama, and I've read stories where he's flown to like Virginia and met with someone who is a top flight piano player, an arts person, and convinces them as part of the pitch to come to Alabama. I believe Herm can and has done some of that too at ASU. I don't have proof other than he goes to Cronkite and speaks to classes, taught a class, been involved in class, and so people like him. The TV networks can't get enough of him. That's a positive. Does it mean they're going to win more games than lose? Well, right now they've won just four more games than what they've lost. So you just got to get on the field this year and not just say all is well. I think on the basketball side of things, it feels like at times that Bobby has turned the corner. I'm big on where Bobby Hurley is on a national view. We've had Dick Vitale on the show and Seth Greenberg on the show, and they love him to death. But this year, the 2-1 and dones, if Bagley does leave along with Josh Christopher, hasn't really worked out until this last week. There's still time for them. I don't know if you guys saw this. So Ken Palm is a place to go to for basketball rankings, Ken Pomeroy. So if you go to kenpalm.com, you'll see every week he has strength of schedule. Right now, Baylor is number one overall. Gonzaga is number two. I believe U of A is 30th, but they're not eligible for postseason. Arizona State was in the 120s and 130s, and then they go out and they beat Stanford and they beat Cal. So all of a sudden, they jump up to 73, important number. So they're getting closer to that 60 and 50 mark where you can make it into the tournament. Unfortunately, Utah and Colorado's games for ASU were wiped out. So they're not going to play this weekend. But Bobby, through all the stuff this year of having games wiped out, team not playing well, losing to UTEP, beating GCU by just one, just not getting swept by U of A in a span of 5 days. If they are able to get back on the court in these final 4 to 6 games, and if there are makeups, and if they do have a Pac-12 tournament, they could still have 10 to 12 games left on the season. If you're sitting at 73 at KenPom, you could be in the 50s or 40s even if you really go on a run. Or you could be back at 120 if things just aren't meant to be this year. So I think Ray's done well there. I think Charlie Turner Thorne's program is always consistent. The baseball program, better. Tracy's got players on that squad they're going to play down the road. So I think if you look at Ray Anderson's body of work from when he came here to where he is now, I think the program is in a better place. It's hard to argue that unless you're just one of those that wants to find fault in somebody else. You know, if you're just like, well, they're just not winning enough. They don't care enough. They don't pay attention to this, pay attention to that. I'd say take a step back and say, really? Look at their facilities. You know, he's trying to figure out the dumpy arena that was not fixed up in the past. Okay. He's tried to get Sun Devil Stadium over the top in terms of getting it refurbished, and they have. So I would give Ray more checks and positives than I would the negatives. The negative seems to come back to the rogue booster with Bobby Hurley's wife last year. That's what I hear from the people that aren't fans of Ray. And whether that was handled correctly or if there's privacy issues involved, I simply don't know. But I think for Ray to be extended is a smart move. I really do. All right, Goody is next on the Super Bowl. And what does he look for? The broadcast crew, all these rumblings about Jim Nantz leaving CBS as his contract negotiations and all that. That's straight ahead. And then Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. Stay with us. All right, now all things Super Bowl continues with Goody. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, covers the media on all fronts, sides, lefts, rights, around the big game itself. Thank God we're not talking politics, and there's really not any movies unless you want to jump in on any of that before we get into the game to speak on. So
some good stuff coming up, but we can do that later.
Yeah, all right. So the game. The first thing I want to get into on broadcast is about, I don't know, 3 months ago, Bill, I noticed Jim Nantz's name was associated with looking for a new contract. And then as the season progressed, it was Tony Romo and his big deal. Now this week, suddenly, mysteriously, it comes out that Jim Nantz might go to ESPN. I guess I look at it from a distance saying, I get it. It's his agent who's floated this out there to the New York tabloids. Now it's become this story the week of Super Bowl. I don't know how much attention you've been paying to it. I like Jim Nantz enough. I don't think Jim Nantz is going to make me flip to ESPN and watch things more. What do you make out of that side of it in this broadcast crew for Sunday's game?
I should say I like Nantz fine. He to me is the epitome of what you would think of as sturdy. You know, I mean, he's kind of almost like a throwback. I mean, if he wore a fedora during a broadcast, it wouldn't surprise me, but it wouldn't seem out of character. I don't see how he could possibly move to ESPN. I don't see how they could pay him. They're already struggling there. They have layoffs every quarter, it seems like. They'd have to have another round of layoffs just to pay his salary. I mean, and you and I and all of us have been in these situations, but I think it's particularly true in TV, that builds resentment. I mean, it can't help. You know, when CBS, I remember when Katie Couric was making $15 million a year or whatever, which is, you know, nothing to these guys now, but that, you know, there was a lot of resentment at CBS News, and she actually ended up giving some of her salary back, you know, not giving it back, you know, farming it out the way they do. But it's not that he's not worth it. I mean, you can count on him. He can sport. He does do any sport here. It's sort of the way Brent must, you know, if any CBS, any big CBS event, he's the voice of, the face of. But he's not, as you a sort of a destination guy. He's not John Madden. He's not even Al Michaels. I mean, he's in that regard. And I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying he's bland. And I'm writing a thing today. We've got to stop confusing competence with being boring. I'm talking about in government, I think in Nantz's case, I think he's going to re-sign with CBS. I mean, I think, as you say, I think this is any agent worth their salt is going to make a big drama out of it and, you know, get him a little money. But I think that next year, this year, whenever this contract runs out, it'll be renewed on CBS.
I actually, I prefer Ian Eagle. I think Ian Eagle is someone who's kind of in that stuck space. It's kind of like Mike Tirico when he was over at ESPN. And I'm not, you know, Mike Tirico, fine. It's not like, oh my gosh, he's doing a game. It feels like it's much bigger than it needs to be. I guess I just look at the personality and say, I don't believe that a million less people are going to watch the Super Bowl this week because of who is delivering the game. That said, Tony Romo's star has gone so quickly so rapidly, and yet I don't see anybody who's in the same atmosphere as him, stratosphere as him. And so I do want to hear what Tony Romo has to say. The play-by-play guy can be anybody setting him up. Dave Pasch does a great job of setting up Bill Walton. Jim Nantz, does he do a great job of setting up Tony Romo, or do I feel like at times he wants to have his voice in the game? I'd say more the latter.
Yeah, although I do think they have a good chemistry. I think Nantz has done more of that, which maybe that is, maybe, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's a bargaining tactic. Maybe it's something that his agent or somebody is in his hand, you know, you need to be out there a little more. It's turning into the Tony Romo show, and we don't want that, you know. But it kind of is. And the interesting thing with Romo, I think, is now that he signed this huge contract, and you know, you don't hear so much anymore now about, oh, he can predict plays before they happen. Now it just is more settled into kind of like, he's really good. You know, it's, you know, that's, as we've talked about before, that's kind of a parlor trick. I mean, you know, there are probably a lot of coaches who could do the same thing, but he just happened to do it at the biggest times possible. But now I feel like he's gotten more comfortable, and he goofs around a little more, and he looks around a little more, a good way. I don't think, he doesn't make a big deal out of it, but he's not above making fun of himself. It's almost like, well, it's not almost like, it is exactly like he got a contract and now he can relax a little. And I think him for him. I don't see Jim Nantz relaxing ever.
No. And I think that if you go back to the first playoff game, when Romo was trying to predict, and I believe it was the Browns game, what they're going to do on fourth and one. And he said, yep, they're going to run it. And it was the play that Andy Reid decided to call on a fourth and one with like 30 seconds to go in the game, a little dump off pass to Tyreek Hill. And Rome was like, I was wrong. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, what a great call. And I was wrong. And a lot of people out there, it's, oh, he's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But I was like, no, that's what you want. You want someone who's just willing to be self-effacing. We're too caught up in the, look at me, I'm so great, I'm so smart, I'm the best thing ever.
Well, and I'll tell you, I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than it was, but you're right. I mean, he did, and there's something that goes into that as well, is he's also poking fun at his reputation for being able to
call
some, you know, prognosticate and call these plays. But I'll say something else. And I don't want to make it a bigger deal than it is. But when we've talked a lot in the last few years about what legitimate media is, legitimate media, one of the definitions of legitimate media, of not fake news, is a media company that corrects its mistakes. Mm-hmm. And he did it in real time, right there. And you can imagine, and I don't have to name names, you don't either, but you can imagine a lot of analysts who would have just glossed right over it, you know, and acted like they didn't, you know, they didn't even do that. He instead, he went all in. And he said, I messed up.
I saw a moment last week. It was during the whole issue with Patrick Reed on the PGA Tour, Torrey Pines. And it was the CBS announcing crew. And they brought in their rules official. And Frank Nabilo, who I think does a very good job, asked him a very direct question about the rule. And the rules official says, no, Frank, that's not how the rule reads. You're wrong. And there was dead silence. And I can only imagine behind the scenes, the producer within the earpiece. And there was not a, oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, I learned something new today. It was just let go from that. And we don't get enough of that in our industry. Goody is with us for a few minutes. So I had Jay Feely on the other day. He is going to be there.
Yeah, he's a sideline reporter.
Yeah. And he said something interesting about how he's been told to prepare. What if Tony Romo were to test positive the day of the game? What if Jim Nantz, what if any of their crew, and none of the four together, Tracy Wolfson, Jay, Jim, Tony, will never be together in one room this week. They will all be in different hotel rooms.
Smart, Hudson.
Yeah, and so they're trying to contact Trace. But what do you think of Jay Feely and his ascension and Tracy Wolfson and what she brings to a broadcast?
I think Feely has, I think they both, they're good at what they do. If Romo tests positive, I Jay Feely seems like he's a good announcer and stuff, and maybe he's a good guy. I don't know. I don't know him, but I'm not, I don't think he's the guy to fill in for Tony Romo. But I don't know what they would do in that case. You know, I don't know what they would do. I'm sure that there are many scenarios, and Jay, I'm sure, knows what they are already. Mm-hmm. I think they're good at those jobs, but I think Romo is the exception and not the rule. You know far better than I do how hard that job is. And it's the kind of job like some of the jobs that you've had and that I've had, that from a distance, they seem easy. They seem like you can just fall out of bed and go do them.
Yep.
And I always felt this way about writing a column. Everybody's got like one or two good ones in them, but it's when you have to do it every day. that's when you sort of prove your worth. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably true with that job. I think that everybody's got a little bit to say about a game and about a player and about a, you know, and that kind of thing. But to do that for 2 hours and or 3 hours and make some sense and sound like you know what you're talking about, that's tough. And so, geez, I had not even considered that possibility. I don't think we've had announcers test positive yet, have we? We've had players, certainly.
Well, and in Jay's case, I think he's at an advantage. He was part of Bruce Arians' team here. He was coached there. He knows Byron Leftwich. He knows Todd Bowles. He knows the special teams coach. He actually mimicked the special teams coach to me. So I think that he is going to be able to give some things as a fourth person in the booth and with a Valley angle that no one else will be able to bring to the broadcast. And I look forward to that. I think in Tracy Wolfson's case, I've always liked her. She's a mom with kids. She gets on a flight. She's open with her social about, yeah, I miss my family, but this is what I do. This is who I am for these 3 days. And she always delivers. She always delivers. When Patrick Mahomes got injured a few weeks back, there was not a better sideline reporter covering that story than Tracy Wolfson. And I really like her.
And you know, that job has evolved a little bit. I remember Melissa Stark and some people used to say, I don't remember how publicly they said it, but I heard it. They must have said some publicly, but I was in a room where they said they were frustrated because the NFL really controlled the information that they could talk about on the sidelines, not the team. And I mean, not the network. So she said, you'd be sitting there and a guy's sitting there with his leg twisted off back, you know, the wrong way. And you've got to say, well, you know, there's no definite yet, but he appears to have suffered a leg injury. And it's like, well, the guy's leg is broken in half and you can't say it. And they talked about how that was frustrating. The NFL seems to have relaxed on that a little. And I don't know if it's like a function of social media, like that kind of stuff is just harder to hide. There's no longer just one source for information. But it seems to me that they're a little more willing that like they report, like, as you say, like she did with Mahomes. I mean, she didn't act like she was a doctor, but she also didn't hide the obvious.
Yeah, no, that's the sideline report. Let's go down the sidelines. Well, they took Patrick Mahomes to the locker room and that's it. No, she went up into the tunnel and was standing outside of the door. So I just look for the little things on that. What are you going to be watching on Sunday? And I'm sure you're going to write off of it. Do you watch the commercials? Do you watch for the little nuggets throughout the whole 8 hours? Do you take in the whole 8 hours or 10 hours? How do you go about putting together your Super Bowl Sunday?
I make plans and then might destroy them. I mean, I'll certainly watch and write about Norah O'Donnell is going to interview Joe Biden. You know, they said the president, that's become sort of a staple of Super Bowl Sunday, is the network showing the game, their anchor or their one of the profile people interviews the sitting president. So that should be interesting, or maybe it won't be. I don't know. I'm at this point, I'd settle for it not being. But I check in and out. I'm always a little afraid I'll miss something. Mm-hmm. I have to say, and we probably talked about this before, I found out that John Lynn got killed, like so many people did, on Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell broke the news to me and tens of millions of other people. And honestly, since then, I've always, when there's a big live sporting event, I feel like I need to at least have it on, even if I'm doing something else. I mean, the pregame show or something, in case something happens. I'm afraid I'll miss it. I don't know. Maybe that's why I became a news person. I don't know. But that's sort of how I feel about the pregame show. But there's, I mean, it's so scripted now, and they're having like this Tony Romo goes to Super Bowl thing and all this, you know, sort of things. I kind of like it once they actually get to the stadium and they start there. Now, this is going to be different. It's going to be weird. Only 22,000 people. I'm really interested in seeing what that looks like. But as you know, I mean, you've been to Super Bowls. I've been to Super Bowls. They're making a big deal. Oh, it's the first home game for a Super Bowl team. Regular people don't get those tickets. Right? The regular people tickets way up in the top of the bowl. And nobody nobody I hang out with is down there in the bottom. Somebody parked their cars. the people who sit in the bottom.
No, that's right. So, that's right. It's when I watch 1 year, I forget how many years ago, I went to Disneyland the day of the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Because God made the DVR, right?
Well, I'll tell you.
And I decided I'm going to do something different. So I went to Disneyland with my wife and my kids, and there was nobody there. And we went on the rides all day long. And I asked somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, this is the best kept secret. The day to go to Disneyland is on Super Bowl Sunday because nobody's here. And I got home that night, and I watched the game, and I was prepped and ready to go the next day. I wouldn't do it every year, but I did it one time. Just something different.
I will tell you this. This is how I learned about who has best seats at the Super Bowl. A quick story. The first Super Bowl that they sent me, or the second Super Bowl they sent me to, was the first one here with the Steelers and the Cowboys at Sun Devil Stadium, right? And I'd written all these columns the week before, the preparations and just kind of goofy offbeat things and stuff. So I got to the Super Bowl Sunday, and as you know, you got to get there like 5 hours early. And I thought, well, what am I going to write about? I'm not going to write about the game probably because we have so many people doing that. So I thought, well, I'll start at the top and I will talk to the people who have the worst seats in the house. And then I'll work my way down to front row, 50-yard line. I'll talk to the person with the best seat in the house. And after about an hour in the top row, it was like, this stinks. They're just here to be here. So what I just planted myself, front row, 50-yard line, best seat in the stadium, and waited for the person to come kick me out. And I thought when they kicked me out, a column about the person with the best seat at the Super Bowl. They never came.
Ha!
I watched the entire Super Bowl from the best seat in the stadium. And I asked the people around me and they said, these are network seats. The network gets these. And that's so that they can show stars from their shows, you know, and promote the shows and all this stuff. And they said, and a lot of times what happens is they go to parties, they don't want to leave. And just, you know, and somebody comes here and sits and you just happen to be on this. I was so afraid. I didn't go to the bathroom the entire game. I was, but the person every turned that into a column. Every time there's a big event from then on, somebody's always ended up kicking me out, but it's always been weird and funny.
That's fun. That's fun. Stay well. Have fun on Sunday. Thanks for the time as always.
Too. Enjoy Disney World if you do it.
Not this year, not that, but another time. There is Goody at the Movies. You can check out all Bill's content over on AZ Central and at Gannett. We appreciate his time, and we're back with more after this timeout. Jimmy Vaccaro now from the South Point. Couple of minutes on the Super Bowl. The game is Sunday. Arizona's looking at heading up there. We talked last week about they're going to have ballrooms. They're going to have all sorts of stuff at the South Point and just Vegas in general. Jimmy, the line hasn't moved this week, has it?
Well, it's moved a little bit, depending where you're at. So, you know, some places flashed at 3.5, and as soon as they did, they got money on the underdog there. Everybody wants Brady when you're getting 3.5 points. The South Point, we bounce back and forth, but, you know, my friend, this is incredible. The hotels, actually, we're starting to get more reservations real quick with the last couple of days here. People are obviously asking a lot of questions, a lot of calls into the South Point. Like, I'm sure every other casino says, we're open for business. We're going to obviously, you know, go by the mandate. But I'll tell you what, my friend, the doomsayers are saying it wasn't going to be a huge event. I think they're really, really wrong. I can only speak for the South Point, but we are double the amount of money we have written on tickets so far, same, you know, days from last year to this year. So that's a great sign.
Okay, the total is still 56, or is that moved, Jimmy?
Well, we had a 57 and a gentleman bet under 57 for 22,000, so we went to 56.
Wow.
But you know, like in every other case, my friend, you know this as well as anybody now, being around this stuff, is like even though we took some big bets on the under by what you would call the professionals, the general public still likes to bet the parlay with the over. So you know, obviously it's a long way to go, but the big bets are coming on the under. Every parlay utilizing the total is going to the over.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us at the South Point. Head up to Vegas this weekend. All of you in Arizona checking out the Super Bowl. What is it like with the coin flip, Jimmy? Walk people through the coin flip. So the dollars that go into the coin flip, what it's like once the coin is in the air, and then afterwards, and then for you guys.
Well, my friend, it's very, very simple. You want to get off on the right foot. You want to have a winner before the game starts. So right. You're getting a lot of $10, $15, $20 bets. The people, and there's a lot of, there's a roar after the coin flip is done, whether you had the heads or the tails. But just another little party favor that we throw out. And yes, the general public absolutely loves it. You know, what are you going to bet, my friend, heads or tails?
I'm going tails, Jimmy. I'm going 50 on tails. So there I am. 50 on tails. What is it when you would give to people that are going to head up there for Super Bowl Sunday so they go about their business the right way? What are some quick tips before I get you out of here?
Quick tips are be ready when you get to the casino. Be ready when you get to the front of the line. Don't forget that, you know, don't be ashamed to ask questions, but don't ask them while you're waiting in line. Ask for a supervisor. I'll be walking around constantly the entire day. Come to see me before you go to the line so you don't take up anybody's time, including yours.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro with us. Jimmy, thanks. Have a good Super Bowl at the South Point.
All right, buddy.